It's hard. It's hard to have focus, but also be open to change.
I think yesterday it took me really hard. It's like overwhelmed with, if you have like more employees and then you're suddenly thinking, it's all about me, it's all around me. Like if I make a bad decision or if something happens, if I'm out of, if I can't work for a month or something, break your hand, what do you do? Like if you lose your hand, even worse, like what do you do then? That's where I wanted to talk to either my brother or someone else who's like, hey, like I'm struggling with this right now. Like how do you, Lauren, deal with, like it's Lauren Hom, it's the Hom Sweet Hom business. How do you deal with everything relying on your name and your talent, your skills?
You know, it ebbs and flows. Because I only have a couple contractors and then Crystal's my one employee, I think I feel you about the, like, it's a, I don't know. I was going to say, I haven't thought about it in a while. So it's kind of a fresh question
That's
for
good.
Me. I think because if something were to happen to me and I couldn't work for like 6 months, I could probably still creative direct, or maybe not. Maybe I'd be like out. Who knows? It's interesting because Tom and I talk about that a lot because he's building a business where his name's not tied to it. He could sell it someday to somebody else. Like it grows slower at the beginning and there's more overhead to build out a team, but it has a little bit more flexibility in the future should it be successful, which I think it will. Whereas for you and I, it's like, imagine like you're going into doing more YouTube. I will probably dip my toes in there in the future, or even Instagram. Like without you to film YouTube videos, what is Stefan Koons, right? And
exactly.
Same with Hom Sweet Hom. Maybe because I'm pretty committed to doing, I think you and I, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I was going to say you and I are personality types, or we have a natural inclination to being more okay with the business running around us. And like, we like being on camera. Mm-hmm. We like being open and sharing advice and interacting with people. Of course, everyone needs their introvert time too and recharge time. But it seems to be a natural alignment for the both of us to run a business where you're the center of it. You know, it's your name on the door. It's people are invested in the services and the products you provide, but they also are invested in you. I never really think too far in the future of like, what's going to happen? Like I just kind of assumed from the get-go because my mentality going into my business, you know, 6 years ago was I'll be a freelancer. You know, most freelancers go by their names. That'll be cool. I'll do client work. Awesome. And now that business has expanded, you know, I speak now, I teach workshops, I do online courses and do client work. It's like just a bigger thing now. And I think I always kind of accepted from the get-go that the business ends with me. Like when I decide to stop working, it'll just be done. I will be honest, like I've considered in the future what's going to happen if someday I fall out of love with lettering for some reason, or, you know, people evolve, things change, or if I have a family, or if my business just needs to change structurally, whether it's creatively or practically, what's the next thing I'm going to do? And my gut feeling still says like I would be inclined to build a business around like me still being the hub. Like it would be like a art blog or a lifestyle blog or a, you know, cooking blog. I don't know. And I don't know. I think I kind of from the get-go accepted it as that's just what it was going to be. Maybe someday I'll build a company where it's like not tied to my name. That could be an interesting challenge.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of freelancers and small business owners in our space probably go through what you're going through too, because it's natural to start with just you as your name. I think the only sector I can think of that kind of sidesteps that a little bit is like the street art world where some people go anonymous and like they don't show their face, they don't use their name, they have like a artist name. And so maybe then the business still does stop and start with them to some extent, but they could just have someone else take over if you never know what they look like.
That's true.
So, it's been interesting even just talking about my business. Like, it's like, do I use I, do I use we? Like, cause we are we now.
Yeah, exactly. I had that talk with my new employee who takes care of like mm-hmm. all the newsletter, and he asked me like, "All right, what's a voice like?" And I'm like, "What do you mean? Like we, like, or I?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. Whatever fits best." I'm like, and I kind of like, you, I think you need some time to introduce the team, but mm-hmm. yeah, I think the initial, like this emotion of feeling overwhelmed came from, looking back now, it's like, it comes from me wanting to prioritize YouTube more, meaning mm-hmm. I will less prioritize Instagram. So I'll take my foot off the gas on Instagram and just kind of let that glide wherever it goes now. And that is scary. That's kind of like, for me, really scary, because you don't know how, like, will it just go down? Will you disconnect to your audience? And then with YouTube, I'm like, I looked at like the prognosis of like, all right, in 28 days, I made about 450 new followers or subscribers. But I counted up for the year and you're like, well, I'll maybe be at 45,000 if I keep that pace up. And I'm like, that's not going to be good. Like, that's not, I don't know. Like, for me, it's like 10,000 in a year. It's like, it's not enough to really push that. And not sure if the lack of Instagram will drive enough for YouTube, because YouTube kind of like, I could do this full time without doing any client work on the side, just because it's so time consuming. Mm-hmm. And that's where kind of all these feelings come from. And you're like, well, if I don't get to do the client work anymore, then what, like, do I do YouTube? And if I don't earn any money on YouTube, like, I need to do workshops. And then so many things suddenly fall into place where you're like, wait a minute, everything is like, will lead back to me and how much energy I have, how much time I have. And so the whole focus, again, we talked about that in another episode, in the latest episode, was like, how do we focus on building something for long term, not short term, not just like run do a sprint here to grow on YouTube and then just burn out. Like, that's probably why a lot of people on YouTube burn out so fast, is they sprint, they kind of try everything, and that's why they grow so fast. And so when that suddenly doesn't work anymore, or when they don't have that energy anymore, they kind of like, boom, out.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, is not the goal of what I do.
Of course.
Like, now I have employees that mm-hmm. rely on me.
I would say, I think what I see your business heading towards, because, you know, you have, you know, two employees now, which is awesome. So you have support in the studio, and then you have support like with the digital stuff, email list, like landing pages for mm-hmm. your workshops and stuff. I kind of see YouTube as falling under just the Stefan Kuhn's umbrella like brand. It's a good thing. Like, yeah, one thing that came to mind was Andy J. Pizza was talking about how he started Creative Pep Talk, the podcast, and yeah. he knew he wanted to do a podcast. And a strategy he teaches and he used himself was, he was like, okay, I'm going to set a finite number of, I'm going to do 100 episodes. I'm committing myself now. I want to do 100, and then I can evaluate if I want to keep going, but I'm going to do 100. Mm-hmm. And he said that the technique is, you want to set your destination or your goal at the beginning before you start, because he used the analogy of, you don't want to be, you know, running a marathon and then halfway through be like, do I want to keep going? Like, should I just stop?
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
If you set the goal of finishing at the beginning, yeah. It helps keep you on track. So maybe you could just say, hey, I want to do, I don't know what frequency you're going at right now. What, one YouTube video a week?
Yeah. Currently, yeah.
You could say either weekly, or you could say, I want to make 40 YouTube videos in 2020, and then I'll reevaluate, whatever works best for you. But even if, like, when I smiled when you said, you know, 45,000, that wouldn't be so good. I still think 10,000 subscribers in a year may not be as fast as you want it to be. And I totally understand that. But I do think that even if, let's say, you did one video a week and you grew it to 45,000 subscribers and you weren't satisfied with that, it would still be a net positive mm-hmm. for your overall business. Like you were saying earlier about, you know, we get on average 2,000 listens per episode of this podcast, which doesn't seem like a lot when I look at other podcasts, of course, but when you think about it, like you even said it yourself, it's like, that's pretty amazing that 2,000 people, which is like a huge auditorium of people, let us into their studios and they draw while they listen to us. Like, that's so touching. And the same thing could happen with your YouTube channel. And I also think that because you have support now, the way I see things trending for you is, I know it feels like you're taking your foot off the gas of Instagram if you go into YouTube, but I bet there's a way to delegate, you know, stuff to your team members to keep your Instagram going. Maybe not exactly the same as you've been doing, but you have so much artwork that you could repost. You could do clips of your YouTube videos that you then put on Instagram. You could feature people from your, you know, 30 days of Bible lettering challenge. I bet there's a way to pull in content if you are looking for a consistent stream and just schedule it, or have, you know, Judith or what's your other employee's name?
Sam.
I keep forgetting. Sam. Judith or Sam. Take that under their wing. That kind of sounds like it could fall under Sam's responsibilities.
What I've been taking out from just this conversation is, from being overwhelmed, is one is, well, set yourself a goal of how many videos you want to make, for how long, what period. That 100 episode from Andy J. Pizza, that really inspired me to say, all right, I want to do that whole year, every week, one video, and share that online. And then the next thing, what would be the next thing? The next thing is also just like content. Try to figure out how to create content for all platforms so you don't miss out on any of them. And third is, hire someone else to help you out with the next step. Because the same thing is with a lot of people hear about like newsletter. You should have a newsletter. That's pretty much the only platform.
So many shoulds. Oh my gosh.
The only platform that you are where you can collect email address and you have full control over who gets the email. So it's not algorithm.
You are reaching out to people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's kind of like the thing is like, all right, I should do that. And I've been talking with Tom Ross from Design Cuts, who's helping, like giving great advice, but like for half a year, I couldn't do anything until I hired Sam, and Sam was able to implement half of, or pretty much everything that we talked about in a couple of weeks, in a couple of days, just super fast. And now we've got that set up. We got a landing page for the workshop. And so he's like doing one thing after the other. Judith is helping me out with all the stuff that I need to prepare for the workshop and just making it possible to actually host these workshops in the first place. So I realized like, okay, even though I'm overwhelmed with all the things going on and trying to have like all these things simultaneously, hiring someone else wouldn't be just a waste of time or money. More of a waste of money if that person helps me build up another platform that I can use then to grow the whole business again as a whole. And at some point you probably even have to ask yourself, like, do I still need client work? Like, definitely at a position where I don't need client work anymore. It's still a great source of income, but it could be easily replaced with all these other streams of income that we have, like workshops, products, whatever, coaching sessions.
The power of diversification, which could be an episode in the future.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've already learned a lot in this episode here. I'm already super thankful for just even just exchanging that. Like, for anyone listening, if you're struggling with anything, probably the hardest thing is to openly admit about your struggles. It's scary to say like, man, I'm afraid or I'm overwhelmed with all this. And like, you don't need to have 100,000 followers to feel overwhelmed with your business running on yourself. Like, if you're a freelancer and you're dependent on your income, then when you're starting out, that's pretty much something that you rely on. If you're far ahead, then even then it's something that maybe your family relies on. I've talked to Ian, and for him, like, he has a family of four that he has to provide for, a mortgage and everything.
I always forget about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so for me, that's like, yeah, you got to bring in that income. You got to create those products. You have a lot relying on yourself, and there's no, like, you're not the only one having that problem. And for me, that's just been helpful to just ask yourself or like my brother would be the next person who also runs a business, who has a business partner who he can share that with. But for me, because he's a couple years ahead, that's super helpful to hear his thoughts and just like even just someone who calms you down.
There's only so much we can do alone, right? It's there's so much. I think there is a lot of value in being able to do things on your own. It is less complicated, right? You can kind of focus, especially if you have a goal and you're driven, you know, low overhead, right? Doing things alone, you're not paying other people and relying on that to run your team. But yeah, I mean, I find that where I stumble the most in like business is more of the emotional stuff and getting through the overwhelm and getting through the stress and getting through maybe these beliefs that hold me back that I didn't think I had, but then surprise, there they are.
Yeah.
And so of course, talking with, you know, a friend or a family member who isn't, who can't quite relate to what you're going through, but can just lend an ear is super helpful. Yeah. But there is kind of that next level of talking with you. Like when we talk, it feels there's like camaraderie, like we're kind of in it together because we're running different businesses, but in the same space. And we go through a lot of the same things. And so that's kind of the next level. And then the next level is to then hire people to mentor you or coach you who have already kind of who are operating at the next level, who can give you advice. Like you were saying about your brother, he's a little older. He's been running his business for longer. He has a business partner. He might be able to lend more insight than I even could because you and I have pretty much been in business for about the same time. So we're very much peers. But yeah, I just hired a new business coach. Her name's Melissa Griffin. I've taken some of her online courses and followed her work for a couple years. And I saw she opened up spots for a mastermind that she's putting together. It's, I think it's like 10 or 15 people who are, it's for kind of higher level business owners who are looking for community, kind of like, I feel like you'd be a good fit for it too. Like, you know, people who are earning six figures with their business and like are kind of stuck on how to either take more off their plate and keep growing their business or who are just having, who haven't quite figured out how to reach that next level, but who are striving for that, hence this podcast. And yeah, I haven't worked with a business coach in a bit. I have a business coach, Rebecca, who's a friend of mine who helped me launch Passion to Paid, and we have the occasional chat. But Melissa is someone interesting to me because she's, I think, only a couple years older than I am. And she's an ex-graphic designer, which is cool. She still does creative stuff, but she went 100%. She went away from client work and went 100% into teaching online classes about like online marketing and what else does she teach? Yeah, like email list building. She has like a Pinterest class. I don't know if she has an Instagram class. I can't remember, but she's been able to scale her business like crazy. And it's been really inspiring seeing someone who has a similar background to me do that. And I'm kind of in the same boat as you where it's like, I could step away from client work 100% if I wanted to and double down on courses or Instagram, YouTube, newsletter, whatever it was. And that's a really amazing privileged position to be in, to have choice of being like, could you imagine like 3 years ago thinking that you'd never take on any clients for the year? So it sounds so scary.
It does.
Or could you?
Well, the question is, would you?
That's where I get stuck because it's like, I still like client work, but I also know that this year I need to get way more selective and
jack up the prices. I think it really has a lot.
Well, I mean, that's one way to do it. I'd rather work on bigger projects with higher budgets, with like more pieces in them than like kind of one-off things or projects for causes that I care about. Because I am fortunate enough to have other streams of income, which I've been, you know, so do you, and it's great. Like, and it's because my expectations for my career were to be a freelance lettering artist, take on client work, and that was it. I have such a hard time stomaching the idea of never doing client work again. And so I'm still in the middle ground. But I do know that I'm 100% more interested in scaling the course and digital product half of my business mm-hmm. than the client half. It's never been my dream to run a design studio with 20 designers and I'm overseeing all of it. Yeah. I don't want to hire more people to take on more client work. That doesn't sound like my purpose. Yeah. I'd rather hire more people to help me teach more classes and to like you have Judith for, like, help you organize workshops and be able to do more of the stuff that really lights you up. And that was one thing I was going to say to you earlier too, is people evolve and change. And, you know, under the Stefan Kuhn's umbrella, I think you have a really strong personal brand. You can try so many things out in that. And I think it'll still feel, whether it's YouTube, Instagram, client work, digital products, it'll all feel like you. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, we're human and we evolve. And if client work were no longer super exciting to someone like you or me, you know, after 3, 5, 10 years, that's natural and that's okay. And when you were talking about YouTube earlier, I was like, in my head, I was thinking, if YouTube is what you're excited about right now and you love making those videos and you want to commit your time to that, that's not a bad place to commit your time. And sure, objectively, it can take away time that could be spent on client work or Instagram. But I do think that as creative business owners, we need to stay in, I've heard multiple people call it this, and maybe I've said it on the show before, you got to stay in your zone of genius. You have to stay in the arena that you feel most excited to be in. And that's when you're going to be the most productive, the most inspired, the most creative. And that's when, and you're already doing this, you hire support, whether it's employees, a coach, admin people, an assistant, whatever it may be. You hire support to help manage the very realistic parts of your business that still need managing. But you yourself, Stefan Kuhn's, can stay in your zone of genius. And the zone of genius will move around over time. And that's mm-hmm. one thing that, honestly, I'm giving you this advice, but, like, I even struggle with this. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt, because it's hard. It's hard to
it is really hard.
Have focus, but also be open to change.
And also, like, so here it is. Like, I feel YouTube, I've been feeling YouTube is like, I should have focused on that long time ago. And I just feel like it's been hard just to switch off from something that's been working well, that's been feeling easy, like Instagram, you figure it out, you're like, okay, this is cool, this works. And then, like, editing videos just takes so much more time. Like, there was a reason why I switched to lettering from videography, because, like, back in the days, I did do a lot of video editing and filming, and then moved on.
Do you like video editing?
I still, at some point, like, I still enjoy the occasional, like, the storytelling of it, but right now it's still too hard. Like, I don't have enough efficiency in my process that it's just so hard. And, like, in lettering, I just have that, or it's not even, you need to have that. You're just like, well, I start here and there.
Muscle
and
memory. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And
your,
like,
brain
composition
is already a step ahead of your hand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, composition, your head is already creating every possible scenario of how to compose a piece. And that's what I teach in my workshops when it comes to composition. It's like I'm teaching you exactly how to like come over all these, I'm losing the words for it. Like, how you can actually learn how to do all that faster than I, like, it took me years to perfect that. And I teach that in, like, a day or an afternoon on how to come up with all these ideas in composition and how to see things the way I see them. Of course, I don't necessarily go through the process the way I show that to people, because in your brain does that all for you. But that's kind of what happens in your brain just without thinking. Mm. So if you look at a word and you're like, it's 5 letters, I know exactly where the middle is. I know exactly, like, an R will always have this, the drop of the R will go around, and it's like, even if you mm-hmm. see a photographer, like, he'll look at a person and he'll be like, put yourself there, let the light come from there, this direction, and, like, I'll get that perfect portrait. Mm-hmm. And videography is the same thing. It's like, ooh, this story could be told that and this way, and it could be doing this, and, like, and still, like, feel like I'm unboxing, like, or going through my basement, going through old stuff, and like trying to get out those muscle memory in that sense of filmmaking, which I'm in need to recover. But at the same time, like, I don't want to be doing this long term, because if I'm the one editing and filming and doing everything, then it's just going to take me too much time of my time.
It's taking you out of your zone of genius.
Exactly. It's where creating sucks, or what you create sucks.
Have you considered hiring a video editor?
I have. It's so hard to find someone really good. Like, I had someone that's really, really good. But he's just so focused on doing his own thing, which is great. And that's why he's so good. Is like, yeah, of course he can do his own thing. I'm looking for that type of person who is really good, who is driven, but who really doesn't care more about, like, he just wants to be doing it rather than building his own brand. Like, it's hard, because now in the days of YouTube, you could just do your own stuff. And so that's, to take that away from them, it's, maybe they'll do their own stuff, but like Casey Neistat said, like,
yeah,
this,
no,
like, if there's someone really good at what you do, like, who you would want to hire, he'll leave. Like, he'll use you as a springboard. And I'm like, maybe I'll have to deal with that. But at the same time,
it's a natural progression, and it's not always a bad thing. It just, you know, if you hire talented people, they might blossom in different ways, and all you can really do is hope they stay and you support them. And everyone's also kind of like how you mentioned, you know, Ian has a family of four to support too and a mortgage, and everyone's in a different situation too, where work, you know, especially with creative stuff, work can be for pleasure, but it can also be practical too. And some people like having their job that they make their income from separate from the create other stuff that they do, so they don't have to put any pressure on their other work. And so everyone works differently, but I was going to say, maybe there's someone who you could bring in to edit, whether it's in-house or remote, where, because you've been editing your own videos for a while, and even though it takes you longer than you want it to, and it's not your zone of genius, because you're not trying to be known as Stefan Kuhn's the best video editor in the world. Or maybe you are.
Maybe. No,
that
but there's,
could be your second career.
See, there's a way of telling stories that you just, like, I know how I want to be telling my stories, how I want to share my stories.
Mm-hmm. And so you feel like you have an editing style in your
definitely
videos?
Definitely do. Yeah, I think I do.
I think you could teach someone that. If you just show someone,
yeah, definitely.
Have
over
someone
time,
study
yeah.
your YouTube channel, show them what you like, what you don't like. Like, it's, I don't know what you're like I don't know what your onboarding process is for, you know, Judith or Sam, how you introduce them to like the brand and what your tone is and, you know, your style. But one thing that I've done with like my friend Jess, who helps me manage my Instagram, very, very part-time. I wrote this, like, because I'm sure you get this too, you know, you get the same 20 questions asked over and over again through DMs. And I was like, okay. So I made an FAQ page on my website that she can send people to. But also I was like, here's how I would respond. Here is the exact tone of voice I would use. Yeah. I wrote like three different versions of every response, so she knows, like, this is how I talk. And she, because everyone talks differently and that's okay. Yeah. But if someone's working for you, it has to be somewhat
sound
on brand.
Like
it,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if they're communicating as you or writing anything. It's just the branding. But I bet, you know, it might take a little bit of upfront work, but I 100% in my heart believe there are lots of people out there who could learn your editing style and do it to your liking.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now it's just a question of how do you find those people? And that's a topic for another episode, probably.
So your question originally about like, having your business tied so closely to you, that's one thing that's been interesting to navigate as well, where, you know, your Instagram handle is your name, my Instagram handle is my last name, like where you're connecting with people like who are followers and fans, and like in a business sense, you're communicating, but your friends are also in there too. And because you and I have very busy inboxes, sometimes I feel like I need to send out a text or email to my friends being like, please contact me somewhere else, because like, I'm not trying to ignore your DM. It just like got lost in the shuffle. And you know, it's not the best way to contact me personally anymore. My Instagram has just kind of taken on a life of its own, and you know, in a good way, but it also means just navigating that gray area between, yeah, I'm posting some personal stuff on there, but it's mostly business stuff. Therefore, you know, because there's so many ways to contact people now: email, DM, you know, text message.
And you can get overwhelmed with all of those. So it's like, last weekend, we talked about that last week, about like creating a different account on your computer. I switched my phone on the weekend and switched the computer like to another one, and just switched out like a other user. Greatest thing ever.
Wow.
I feel like I've just discovered the best way to not even have to think about like turning off apps or doing all that stuff. Just like put my SIM card in a different phone and then still have a phone that has internet and all the necessary connectivity that I need, but then not being able to be reached by WhatsApp or Instagram. Like, you don't even have the desire to go on Instagram because it's not
honestly
on your phone.
Out of sight, out of mind phone. Is by far one of my favorite strategies. If you just don't give yourself the option, it's incredible how, you know, especially your creative brain will just be like, okay, well, I guess I'll do something else. Humans, I think, we're just naturally bad at self-regulating and like setting, you know, having willpower and whatnot. And so if you just set up an environment, where it's not an option, that's amazing to hear that it's been effective.
Yeah. So, and now it's just a question of like repeating that and seeing if you can keep it on, if it's a good habit that sticks.
Right. Actually,
Or if you need to improve that.
Yeah. It's been, what is it? The 21st today? It's officially been 22 days.
3 weeks.
Yeah. Three weeks of sleeping with my phone, not in the bedroom. And it's been really life changing.
Good.
Look at all these little tips that like, I remember this is early on when you told me about that Sheryl Sandberg email, like respond right away tip.
Yeah.
And I remember when I heard it, I was like, that sounds cool. And I really just didn't think too much of it, but it really is effective and can be life-changing. And something as simple as, leaving my laptop at the office, or you having a different account for weekends. It's cool to hear that those things actually work, and they're so low risk to try.
Amazing.
Sweet.
Another episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Striving Artist Podcast.
If you enjoy this episode, we'd be so grateful if you shared it with a creative person in your life who would too.
It would help us a lot if you could also rate, review, and subscribe to the Striving Artist Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and or SoundCloud.
Since we're relatively new to podcasting, this helps to rank the show and get it in front of more striving artists out there. Oh, and one last thing. Stefan and I would love to hear from you. Believe it or not, we're both real people who read messages, so please feel free to send us an email, DM, or better yet, ask us a question via voice message on Anchor.
We would love to hear from you.
Head over to strivingartist.com for all of our contact info.
We'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.